I had aspirations for that tower. I was going to get the biggest swinging mead flag of all time and have it waving off that tower. So every time the people of Kildare looked north, they knew who ran this neck of the woods. Commander Ryle!
Absolutely.
This is probably not a foregone conclusion or of any sort at all. I'm going to give Bord's Mill the nod here, David.
Wow. I'm not, but yeah, I admire it.
Look, I love my county. I love playing for Meath. I'm very passionate about it. I think it's the best county, you know, going. I still love it. I want us to dominate in both codes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you'd have Rathoath still won, would you?
I said
no. Don't give me. If you won't answer, if you would have Rathoath in one, then don't even go there.
Nunc est bibendum, and all the classical scholars out there will know what that means. And if they don't, Jimmy Google will sort it out.
You've jumped over the fence, baby.
Absolutely. Little boy with his finger in the dike.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of your We Are Meath podcast. David Lusman and Mickey Brennan here, which is always. And Davey, you're just back from Croke Park. I watched it on the TV. You know, you've had a bad day all round. Meath got beaten by Dublin and your beloved Arsenal fell foul to their ex-manager and current Aston Villa manager and might have just scuppered your hopes of winning a double, an All-Ireland Championship and, of course, a Premiership. Did both results just bring you back down to earth today?
Well, the double is still alive because we could maybe win the Champions League and Meath could still win the All-Ireland. So a double is gone of sorts, maybe with the Leinster and potentially the Premier League, but, you know, hope springs eternal. I was very optimistic about 20-5 when Liverpool were beaten and Meath were 2 points to the good against Dublin and the Arsenal game had just kicked off. So everything was looking rosy at that stage. And unfortunately, as the evening wore on, it just got progressively worse and it turned into a bad, bad day all around, Mickey. Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's been a lot on this weekend, the last 7 days. Meath minors were out, under-20s were out. We also had the Meath under-16 hurlers playing in the Celtic Challenge. And thank you to Pat Purcell for getting in contact with us. This is a team that maybe the Meath people want to get behind. There's great work being done at under-16 level and they're really showing their worth at the moment. The ladies minors were out in a Leinster final and we had the ladies under-16s in the under-16B Leinster semi-final as well this weekend. Hurlers right next weekend, the under-20 hurlers right next weekend. The one thing I suppose we'll start with, Davey, we don't know when the Meath ladies senior team is out or when the Camogues are out. We can't find it on any of their pages. We can't find it on the LGFA page. And we can't find it on the Camogie Association page. So they're keeping their cards close to their chest. But we're going to start at Croke Park today, Davey. As we said, Dublin beat Meath 3-19 to 12 points at headquarters. We will have a full review of this over in our Loyal Royals podcast. And we will have interviews with Colm O'Rourke and the Dublin manager, Desi Farrell, because he spoke a lot about Meath. What's your initial feeling on this loss to Dublin, Dean?
It's probably never nice, Mickey. So it's always very disappointing, regardless of if it's expected or not, when you lose to Dublin. It does that part of it never gets any easier. So my emotions are one of disappointment and annoyance. Performance wise, you'd have to be happy with the first 45-50 minutes of it. I think at 113 to 10 points, 6 points between the sides, 20 minutes to go, it's not a bad position to be in. But unfortunately, the last 15-20 minutes, they just completely took over and put a bit of gloss on the score sheet, which does look a little bit more worse than in reality it actually was. So to answer your question, I'd feel a bit more optimistic about it than maybe years gone by. And maybe that's to do with the fact that we have such a young and inexperienced team who are still finding their way. And hopefully they will learn a big lesson from today. But ultimately, there's a massive gulf in class between ourselves and Dublin, and that gap hasn't got any narrower over the last 12 or 24 months. But maybe there is some light at the end of the tunnel. So disappointed, but heartened by the performance for the first 45, 50 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, and do you know what? Like, I thought the display in general wasn't bad. And I know you're saying the first 45, 50 minutes. I think on 50 minutes, we were 6 points down.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that stage, you've nothing to lose. Go and chase the game. And they were chasing the game, and maybe that's why the scoreboard looked so bad at the end, because, you know, we went out and tried to go and get scores and whatever, tried to force the issue a little bit. But I have to say, like, and I've said it on the podcast last week, I'm not going to judge this Meath team on their performance against Dublin. They're like, this is not the be all and end all. It was a massive call from class. But I liked what I saw today. Compared to other years where we tried to contain Dublin, let's just say, or we just folded over and lay down like puppies and let them rub our bellies until the end of the game. You know, I didn't see that today. And I thought that they were constantly trying. And even when Dublin went in that middle third of the second half, they did it in the first half as well. That middle third, they got 1-2 without reply. Then Meade hit 2 points or whatever. Then they did the same in the second half, in that middle third, when there were 6 points up, they stretched it out, I think, to 11 points. You know, apart from those two middle thirds, I thought we were trying to do the right things.
Ah, yeah, the effort, excuse me, the effort couldn't be questioned. I thought the application was excellent, really. They never put the heads down. They plugged away. Despite it wasn't going their way, and it didn't go their way in the end. They kept at it, probably tired in the latter stages, and Dublin do what Dublin do, and they rolled in the All-Stars and the All-Ireland winners, and you know, they just carried on. So definitely that was a big positive to pick from it from a Meath perspective. I still think we're quite naive at times, right? And it was evident against Longford. It's been evident right through the year and even into last year. And I get it. I get why. But, you know, some of the scores that were conceding, some of the goals that were conceding, they need to be kind of, they need to be referenced and learnt on, because that can continue, and the better teams will punish you. Like, how many times did we kick the ball away in really good positions today? And inevitably, the better teams like Dublin and the likes will punish you. Their first goal came as a direct example of us attacking deep inside their half, kicking the ball away. 30, 40 seconds later, the ball's in the back of the net. The better teams will punish you for that. And I think that's we've probably seen that even against the lesser teams this year. So we certainly need to learn our lessons and quickly. And if we do, there's no reason why we can't close the gap somewhat. Because, as I said, the performance probably merited a better complexion on the final result than was the case in the end.
Yeah. No, I agree. Two things on that, right? The goal, obviously, they analysed it on RTE, and he took 12 steps in the lead-up to scoring that goal.
Yeah.
Right? So, obviously, it was an advantage. So, if the referee stops it and gives the advantage, he kicks it over, it's a three-point game at half-time. You know, that goal gave them that little bit of a cushion as well to go out and get a couple of scores. That's one thing that Dublin love is a cushion, because then they can be expansive. But if it's closer, they have to be tighter. So that goal for me was a big pivotal point in the game. And then the other thing, you said it already, the learnings. From all the other games that we played against Dublin, what would Meath teams have learned? They wouldn't have learned much, because they didn't go out and attack the game. Do you know what I'm saying? So And they didn't create as many chances, I wouldn't think, or try and be as expansive or get the ball up to the forward line. So now they know, right, all those times they were in forward positions and they kicked the ball away, even in the last 10 minutes, they were still doing it. They were trying to pick out those perfect passes. There's very simple learnings that could make a big difference to their performances Do you see what I'm saying?
I agree. I do agree. And that's kind of what I was trying to get at there with the fact that there were times in the first half where we were in control and we held position for good spells and then just panicked a little bit and forced a pass and got turned over and got flipped down the other end. So I do agree with you. I do think those little learnings, those little tweaks, and we will be better because we'll be better set up down the other end. Dublin love counter-attack football. That's what they've become champions for. Their transition when they do turn over the ball is second to none. And I would argue that two, if not three, of their goals that they got were directly as a result of that. And when we actually were really well set up from restarts and stuff, they struggled actually. They struggled to break us down, not just from goals, but getting even points. And there were periods in that first half where we had an excellent defensive shape. But when they did get the run on us, we were kind of caught unawares in that. So again, lessons to be learned. The main thing is we do learn them and we take them into the rest of the campaign and into next year. And we'll certainly be better for it. It is a young team. I know we've stressed the patience on that, but it is needed. You'll hear a lot of, inevitably after every defeat, you hear a lot of shite, but I think the bigger picture here was always what's to come in the summer. And if we could take some of the learnings from this week into that in 4 or 5 weeks time and hopefully get a more favorable draw, we can definitely upset a few teams, I would say.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm part of a few WhatsApp groups and the negativity was rife. It was like, they're cattle, they're this and they're that. And, you know, I just put it back to them all. What did you expect from Meath today? Did you expect Meath to beat Dublin? Dublin, Derry, Kerry are the top three teams in the country, I would say. There's a gap then to the next maybe 8 or 10 teams. And we're probably not in those 8 or 10 teams and we're trying to get up into that bracket. And that's not going to happen overnight. You know, to get it, when Meath are constantly beating the teams around them, then they're in the next bracket. But we're not constantly beating the teams around us at the minute, Davey. We'll win the odd game here. We'll draw the odd game here. We'll lose the odd game here against the teams around us. But we're not consistently beating them.
I think that's the word, actually. We're not consistent enough. even with teams around our level, like on any given day, we could beat a team, but we could lose to another team. And that's been our Achilles heel for the last number of years, actually. It's not just since Colm has come in or that. It's been probably the issue for the last 10 plus years. So hopefully we can arrest that. And like I say, come the All-Ireland, maybe play a couple of teams that are in and around us that we might fancy. I'm kind of saying teams like Roscommon, Monaghan, you know, those sorts of teams. I wouldn't have much of a fear coming up against those sorts of teams. Barring the elite, as you say, Derry, Kerry, Dublin, and to a lesser degree, the likes of Mayo and Galway and that. But
Bring that back to Leinster and look at the teams in Leinster. Like the likes of your Louds, your Kildares, your Westmeads, even your Wexfords, we won't mention Offaly. But they're the teams that we need to be consistently to be driving to the next level. You know, and meeting Dublin on a regular basis in a Leinster final or a Leinster semi-final and knowing that we've beaten all around us, do you know that kind of way? Then we're ready maybe to take a shot at Dublin. But, you know, had we not met Dublin in a Leinster quarter-final today and we were on the other side of the group, still was a couple of tough assignments, the likes of Westmeath, even Wicklow now at this stage, Louth, you know, Kildare. There's still fear of those teams, you know, that kind of way.
We're still probably no better than those teams, you're right.
Like, yeah.
We haven't earned the right to call ourselves better. Okay, we beat Louth and we beat Kildare this year, but you're right, on any given day, they could turn around and beat us. So until we get on top of that tier two, if you like, I'm not going to say Tailteann Cup, but, you know, the second tier of teams in the country, then we don't really have a right coming up against Dublin and expecting to be any way, I won't say competitive, but give them any way of a game. I think it's more beneficial, actually, we play them in a quarter final and we can park it now put a line under it. We have a month or 5 weeks to refocus, get a bit of a break. A few lads are kind of injured. Like me, they've been going hard probably since the beginning of January. This is going to be the first break they'll have had. Whereas if they got to a Leinster final and played Dublin, you're probably looking at a 2 week break. You inevitably get hammered in the Leinster final, and it could do you more harm than good. Okay, other years it might be more important to get to a Leinster final. This year that's not the case. So make the most. And I know they're going on a camp on that in a few weeks to Portugal, and good luck to them on that, because that the next few weeks will be key for them in just recouping, yeah, and getting ready for the next challenge ahead. And I think the break will do them well.
Yeah. Look, as I said, I wasn't going to be upset or disappointed. I wasn't going to be over the moon or anything after the game against Dublin today. I don't think that we judge this meet team on that Dublin result. They lost 3-19-12. Dublin ran in a couple of goals, got a few points. A lot of the scores that Dublin came, I think 1-5 in the first half came off turnovers or me giving back the ball as well, Davey, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think Fergal had it. Was it 15 turnovers Mead had in the first half? Would that be right?
Could right be. As in Dublin turned over Mead 15.
Yeah, points. Yeah.
You could well be right there. I'll just have a look. Turnovers won. I don't know. This is over the whole game. Dublin had 23 turnovers. So did Mead, yeah, had 16 turnovers. So, and then Dublin capitalised on their turnovers and got scores off them. And that's something that they're just so good at. That's the counter-attack that you're on with. But look, anyways, Colm O'Rourke and the lads, they have, 6 weeks, maybe more, before the May the 25th and 26th. That's when the All-Ireland Series Round 1 games will be played. And the All-Ireland Final, just so people can put it in their diaries, is on the 28th of July. We're not getting ahead of ourselves at all.
just save the date.
Yeah, save the date. We might look. We're thinking of getting married that day. We might be divorced by then as well, though. So you just never know. That's the All Ireland final, 28th of July. I would love it. I would love it if we got a shot at Dublin in the All Ireland final. Oh, Lord. Moving on then, Davey, and we're going to go to the Miners. The Miners were playing Westmead on Saturday in Cusack Park in the last round group game of the Minor Championship. And it was winner takes all. They would get through to, a preliminary quarter final, if I'm not mistaken, Davey, for either team, whoever won. Mead got the victory here, 2-11-1-7. And again, we will have a full review of that game over on our Patreon service. And you have an interview with Joe Cowley, I believe, after the game as well. So we will be sticking that into it. But look, Davey, very briefly, we'll look at this game. Backs against the wall, having to go over to Cusack Park in Mullingar, knowing that this team are much better than they've shown in their first two games. That's a hell of a result, in fairness. 2-11-1-7 against Westmead on home soil.
Yeah, really good win. And when the chips were down, ultimately, they produced the goods, Mead. It was a do-or-die game for both Westmead and Mead. And pressure was on, as you say, Mickey. But Mead came out and delivered a really impressive showing, particularly in the second half. But they had to weather a storm in more ways than one in the first half, when Westmead had a big, strong breeze behind them and created a number of goal opportunities, but Mead stood firm and only were 2 points down at the break and produced a really, really good second half display to turn Westmead over. The goals coming from Evan Kelly and from Pat Crawley. They got the two goals in the second half for Mead, which set them on their way. And it was a big win. You could see how much it meant to the players, the management, some of the supporters after the game as well, because of the fact that they felt they probably didn't perform to the level that they know they're capable of in the previous two games. So there was an awful lot riding on this game, and they delivered a big performance, and it just might reinvigorate them now for the knockout stages. Huge win.
Absolutely. And when you look at what happened to the minor team last year, we had a really good minor team last year as well, and they weren't able to find that result, and they went into the second tier minor football championship and walked it. Had they got one result in the Leinster Championship and got through to that preliminary quarter final, things could have changed for them as well last year. So this could be the making of this team, the fact that they got to show their credentials and show when their backs were against the wall what they can produce.
Yeah, and I think the cohort of players, Mickey, that would have been involved last year wouldn't have had much of an appetite to go back into that second tier or whatever it was this year. And I know that was all grand winning that, but realistically, Meath have higher aspirations than being in that. Yeah. So this was a big win to just kickstart their season again, and hopefully that gives them the shot that they need now. They've got a home game to look forward to against Wexford, I think on Wednesday week in Ashburn. So all of a sudden things are looking up again, and the confidence that they'll gain from that will hopefully do them the world of good. Such a young group of players. They'll have learned an awful lot about themselves in those two defeats to Kildare and Louth, and hopefully that win now over Westmeath will just give them that springboard to push on, and who knows where the road could take them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as you said, they're through to the quarterfinal preliminary round against Wexford. It's a home draw for Meath in Ashburn on Wednesday the 24th. So a big game there for the Miners, and who knows, they might just get momentum and get a victory over Wexford to be primed and ready for the quarterfinals then. Best of luck to the lads in that quarterfinal.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, we had an email in from Pat Purcell, and he was asking us to give this team a mention. We would have been given them a mention, but I wouldn't have known the backstory behind this. It was the Meath under 16 hurlers have been flying in recent weeks, and they got a massive victory over Kildare on the weekend in the Celtic Challenge competition, winning 3-13 to Kildare's 1-6. Now, they had already previously beaten Laois by 5 points. I'm just trying to see. Last week, 115 to 2-7. And obviously, they beat Kildare this week, 3-13 to 1-6. This group of players have beaten Tipperary at under 15 level. They've drawn with Cork at under 14 level. And like, they're playing against some of the top teams in the country, even in challenge matches and stuff like that, and they're showing themselves to be really competitive against some of the top teams around the country in recent years. So this is a team. I know you've got a thing about the under 20 hurlers team. This shows that there's good work being done at the underage levels, and thank you to Pat for giving us a little bit of a backstory to this team.
Yeah, 100%. This is brilliant to see, actually. And the fact that they're pitting themselves against some of the big hitters in the country, even at this early age, bodes well. And I think going into minor, which, listen, last week the Miners had a tough day at the office against Westmeath, but we've seen if they can stick at it, what the under-20s are producing, for example, at the moment, and what they have to look forward to in a week's time as well. So really, really heartening to see and great to see. Hopefully they can keep up this excellent early season form that they're showing. And like we say, the confidence will grow. And with such a young group of players, the sky is literally the limit for them. So hopefully they can keep going in the way in which they're going.
Absolutely. And their last group game will be against Armagh, who incidentally got absolutely trounced by Laois last weekend. So it's looking good for Meath to get their third victory and to put themselves through to the knockout stages. If I'm not mistaken, I think we don't know. We might get Pat to give us some information on the team as well. It'd be great to get some information on the team. But I think there's 8 or 9 groups, and I think the top team goes straight through to a quarter final. So, if I'm not mistaken, but again, we need to get some clarification on that, because I think there might be 2 tiers in this, or something like that. So we'll just have to find out. But again, great work being done at underage level, and great to see a big team being competitive with some of the top hurling counties in the country, David.
Yeah, that's it. And it's been a long time since we could have said that, Mickey. So hopefully that continues right through the ages, and we could have a golden era or a golden bunch of players on our hands, maybe when they progress through to senior level in the not too distant future, actually. So, yeah, fingers crossed the Canals stay together and continue to build on the promise and signs that they've shown already.
Absolutely. Well, we'll get back in contact with Pat and we'll get some more information on that team and maybe some more information on the competition to see where that leads me to. But brilliant stuff from the Meath team again. Last group game, as we said, is coming up against Armagh. Couldn't find the date for that, but we know that it's an away game for Meath in that one. Davey, the under 20 Meath footballers kind of just wanted to leave this one a little bit back down the pecking order. The under 20 footballers were out last Tuesday night in Parnell Park in Dublin against the Sneaky Dubs. And Sneaky Dubs, I remember we had some information from a listener last year or the year before. Do you remember that, Davey, on Meath minor teams that beat Dublin at football level?
John Kelly, minor. Yeah.
Yeah. And then go on to lose them again at under 20 level. And the same has happened here. Meath 1-7, Dublin 13 points. Now, I do know that Meath were probably closer than the scoreboard maybe suggests, but it's still a loss against the Sneaky Dubs, Davey. And now look, they were still true to a quarter final, and maybe they didn't use the full team. Maybe there's some injuries and stuff like that. I think Carl O'Brick went the same team that started the week previous, if I'm not mistaken. But it's alarming, to say the least. I wouldn't say it's alarming, but it's just annoying to lose to Dublin again.
It's funny, Mickey, how the perspectives change here. I'd be more optimistic about this under 20 team and this result than I would be about the seniors against Dublin, whereas you seem to be the other way around.
The reason for that is that Meath senior team will be the senior team for years to come. This Meath under 20 team will not be the under 20 team next year. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah, I do. but I still think this under 20 side will have a massive say. And in fact, I think anybody who walked away from Parnell Park of a Meath persuasion last Tuesday night will say to themselves that they would fancy another crack at that Dublin team. Meath were extremely wasteful. Dublin more economical, as they tend to be, but I think the overriding emotion coming away from it was give us another crack at those lads and we'll just see where we're at then. Like we said from a review last week, this game wasn't of paramount importance. Okay, they have to go into a quarter final. I actually think that might suit if they can beat Laois and get a run going. They're playing week on week, they've prepped, so it's not an issue in terms of the workload or anything like that of the players. They'll learn plenty from this. They'll actually feel like, compared to years gone by when we played Dublin in under 20, we've been thumped. It wasn't the case here. Meath were well in the game, and Charlie O'Connor's goal gave Meath a good degree of hope, but they just couldn't really kick on. Dublin got a lot of their homework done right. They kept the likes of Ryan Stafford, Jamie Murphy and Keane Commons, who did serious damage against Westmeath. They kept them relatively quiet. But there was some outstanding displays from the likes of Sean O'Hare, Eamon Armstrong, Killian Smith and Rian McConnell all played extremely well in this game for Meath. So certainly a lot of positives to pick from it. And providing Meath can get back on the horse on Tuesday night, get a win against Laois, things will be looking up again. And don't rule out these sides meeting again in the Leinster final in about a month's time.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, of course, I'm not for 1 minute thinking that that's the end of this Mead under 20s team. Just no, it's just so annoying to lose to the Dubs, the sneaky Dubs. But anyways, as you said, hopefully we get another crack at them later in the month. Mead will face off against Laois, as Davey said, on Tuesday in Ashburn at 7:30 in the Leinster quarter final, and we're hoping for a victory there. Wonder would we get a semi-final, a home venue for a semi-final? I doubt it.
I wouldn't think so. No, I'd say we'll be on the road. I think we're away to Kildare. I stand to be corrected, but I think we're away to Kildare if we beat Laois.
If we beat Laois, yeah, no, I think so. Yeah, I think Kildare and Dublin got the home venues for their semi-finals because they had topped their groups. So, look, best of luck to Colin Brick and the lads in the quarterfinal in Ashburn at 7:30 on Tuesday evening. I just got lost there in my notes for a second. Davey, moving on then to some other matters. The under-16s, we'll go to the minors. Mead Ladies Minors, they were playing in the Leinster final against Kildare in Bray Emmets on Sunday. That's this afternoon. And they lost on a scoreline of 111 to 2-5. Kildare leading this from start to finish. I think they may have had the wind in the first half. Mead made a great fist of it in the second half, but ended up losing by 3 points. A disappointing result for the Mead Minors.
Yeah, it is a disappointing result. Kildare worthy winners in the end. Pillar to post job, as you said. Good displays from Mead, from the likes of Anna Miles and Poppy Byrne, who kind of led the way in a scoring capacity for Mead, but not to be. Orla O'Reilly was also prominent, but a disappointing result in the end for the Miners. But again, a decent run to the final, so hopefully they'll take the positives from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And on more positive matters from the ladies, the under-16s were in the Leinster semi-final, under-16B Leinster semi-final against Longford, and they won on a scoreline of 4-10 to 5-5. They led 2-6 to 2-2 at half-time and pushed on and got 2-4 in the second half. Longford did get 3 goals and 3 points, but it wasn't enough as Mead ran out 2-point winners, 22 points to 20. Probably the goals will be the thing that they'll need to work on the next day, Davey, as they get through to the Leinster final, where they'll play against Wexford in that Leinster under-16B final.
Yeah, just looking at the scores there, two goals and six for Anna Donnelly, an outstanding contribution from her, and a goal and a point from Lucy O'Connell, and 2 points from Jessica Briardy, and a point from Erin McNulty as well. Outstanding spread of scores and a great personal haul for Anna Donnelly. So, yeah, a better result. They'll want to tighten up, no doubt. Just looking at Seanan Madden there for long for getting 3 goals and 3. Hopefully, Mead don't come up against that sort of firepower again. But a good result and something to pull from the weekend, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. And the team that will be going through to the Leinster final. In goals, it was Ava Fitzsimons. Ava O'Toole, Hannah Briady and Niamh Byrne made up the full back line. Sophie Forn, Niamh Somerville and Ava Hanley made up the half back line. Aoife O'Donoghue and Ashley Kosterick were in the middle of the field. Lucy O'Connell, Anna Donnelly and Ellen McGlue were in the half forward line. Ellen McGlue, the captain of this under-16 team. And then Grace Hanley, Jessica Briady and Erin McNulty were the full forward line. The substitutes of the day were Grace Moody, Abigail Goff, Anya Downs, Isabel Delaney and Ali Brown. So yeah, that's the squad that we have there that will be going into that under-16 Leinster final. So best of luck to the girls in that one. Other matters as well, Davey, on the hurling front, the Mead hurlers will be out in John McDonagh Cup next Saturday against Down. Guess where? In Ballycran. It's an away game for this Mead hurling team. Who parted way with their manager in recent weeks, Saoirse Bolfin, and have a new manager in there now at the moment. And it's not going to be easy for a new manager to come in, 2 weeks prior to championship and try and, I don't know, get a bounce out of this team.
Yeah, but sometimes that can be the case, you know, and hopefully the condensed shortened season for Stephen Clinch might just lead to that. The pressure's really on the players, because ultimately they were the ones who kind of pushed for change. They got what they want. So I would say the onus is on them now to deliver performances. I know it's a really, really tough place to go, Ballycran, but Down and Kerry, those two games represent our best chance of getting results. When you're in with the likes of Westmeath, Laois, Offaly, etc., Carlow, I think. Carlow in the All-Ireland. There's one more team I'm missing. But basically, our two winnable, most winnable games are Down and Kerry. So it's vitally important that Meath go up there and try and come back down with the result if they're to have any hope of retaining their Joe McDonagh status. So best wishes to them. Good to see Eamon O'Donoghue back in the country. Good to see him back in on the panel as well. That'll be a huge addition to Meath because he was absolutely outstanding last year for us. Not sure if there's any more additions to it, but Eamon will certainly provide some additional firepower, much needed firepower, and hopefully Meath can galvanise themselves for this Joe McDonagh.
Yeah, absolutely. Just run through the teams. I think you named them all there, Davey, because we're away on day one to Down. Then we're home to Laois in week two. We're home to Offaly on week three. We're away to Westmeath on week four. And we're away to Kerry on week five. So I think you had them all. Those are the six teams competing in the Joe McDonagh. So best of luck to Stephen Clinch and this Meath hurling team. It will, as you said, the pressure is on them to go and deliver now after what has happened in recent weeks. But look, we've seen green shoots from this team. We've seen young players coming in and standing out, Davey. A number of them are with the under-20s. We'll go to that in a moment's time. But there are things to be positive with this team.
Yeah, there is. And they haven't become a bad team overnight either, Mickey. So I know the amount of players that they've lost hasn't helped, and the change of manager and the bit of upheaval and everything like that. But if they can go back to the core fundamentals of being hard to beat and getting stuck in and everything like that, they're no worse off than the likes of Down and Kerry at the very least. And they've proven that. So hopefully we're sitting here this time next week and talking about a brilliant win up in Ballycran, and you know, things will be looking up again. So fingers crossed, and best wishes to Tispin and all the lads.
Yeah, absolutely. Best of luck to Stephen and the lads in that game. And you mentioned the likes of Eamon O'Donoghue being back. That means that the under-20 hurlers hopefully will be able to stay with the under-20s because they are out in knockout stages of the Leinster. It's down for Saturday the 20th, Davey. We can't find a fixture for it, but the fixture itself is down for the 20th. We don't know who they're playing. They would be playing top of Group 1 or Group 2 from Tier 2. But this group of hurlers, Crash Corrigan, like, they've been absolutely brilliant, but we got to keep this team together. I'm just hoping that the under-20s are allowed to play with the under-20s, and hopefully that the fixture has been moved or fixed in such a way that they can maybe play in Down as well against in Ballycran against Down as well on the weekend.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing, that they A, stay with the team, and B, maybe get the game changed so that they can both play, because the two shines in particular are absolute linchpins in this under 20 side. And I think they've already achieved their primary goal of getting to the knockout stages, so they're in bonus territory. Not that they'll want to be content with what they've got. They've got a brilliant opportunity. They've been absolutely superb. And I just hope that they can continue it for another game or two. And if they can get that game moved, it just gives the lads the option to play both and maybe 3 or 4 days in between. And I hope common sense prevails here, because it's not just Meath. I think Westmeath are in a similar position as well, actually. So fingers crossed, common sense will prevail.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Okay, so Davey, time to move on to our Lotto segment and run through all the Lotto results before you go to our Instagram talking points.
Yeah, first one up, Mickey, is from Minolti and their results from tonight, the 14th of April. Lumberstrom are 1, 5, 12 and 20. No jackpot winner. Three match three winners, each receiving €70, were Chris Nevin, Avery Govern and Ali Govern. The special online prize of €50 went to Johnny Kelly. They go again next Sunday night with a jackpot standing at €4,600. Castletown from the 10th of April, 1,300 of a jackpot, not one. 3, 10, 14 and 20, their numbers. Lucky dip winners receiving €30 were Barry Sheeran by two, Gillian Fluff, Michelle Smith and Jacinta Casey. Navin O'Matney's from last week, their numbers were 7, 24, 30 and 31. No jackpot winner. Claire O'Brien and Sandra Smith were the match three winners, meaning their next draw is on the 16th of April and it's worth €5,750. Kilmainham from Monday the 8th of April, numbers were 6, 11, 24 and 25. And next week's jackpot stands at €11,900. Five lucky dip winners receiving €20 each from last week were Nisha Muldoon, Kieran Waters, John Caffrey, PJ Muldoon and Alan Sheridan. Manalvi from last Monday night, the 8th of April. Numbers were 2, 13, 20 and 28. No jackpot winner. Three €20 winners were Joe Munley, Bridget Moran and David Donoghue. Next draw takes place on Monday. It's worth €7,600. You can play it at manalvigfc.ie or on the Clubforce app. Walterstown from last Sunday night, the 7th of April, 1, 9, 23 and 27. No jackpot winner there, €10,000 top prize. One match three winner who was Samantha O'Connell. Jackpot still worth €10,000. You can play via Clubforce. Envelopes are also available in Curran's Garage, O'Brien's in Johnstown or in the Club Bar. Dunmore Ashburn from last week and just loading up. They had a €10,000 jackpot on the 7th of April, no jackpot winner. Match three winners were Niall Fitzpatrick, Margaret Andrews, Francis Thomas, Laura Smith and Melinda Farrell. Their numbers were 8, 10, 13 and 15 and the jackpot still stands at €10,000 for at least another week. And finally, Mickey, from my own Cartoon GFC, we had a €10,800 jackpot last Friday night, of which it wasn't won. Five €20 winners were John and Sandra Collier, Gerard Campbell, Niall Smith, Mary Rennox and Jenny O'Rourke. Two tickets to Meath in Dublin went to Amanda Farnan and we go again Friday night with €11,000 of a jackpot. You can play it at cartoonga.com/lotto. Over to you.
I'd say Amanda Farnan was delighted with that prize, was she? you could have picked something else there, in fairness. Anyways, moving on to St. Jacinth's Lotto from last week, the 8th of April. The numbers drawn were 3, 18, 27 and 28. There was no jackpot winner. Jackpot was €1,400. The five €25 winners are Anita Carlin, Kieran Shankey, Niamh Bissett, Kieran Marks and Marie Collins. Next week's or this week's jackpot will be €1,500. Kilmainham Woods Lotto last week. The numbers drawn were 7, 12, 18 and 24. No jackpot winner either. The five lucky dip winners were John Kangley, Roisin Malone, Francie Owens, Mark McKeown and Phelim Gargan. They all received €20 each. And this week's lotto is €3,600. Finally, Simonson's lotto last Friday night was not won. The jackpot was 5,350. The numbers drawn were 3, 4, 24 and 26. Lucky dip winners were Carol O'Connor, Josephine Conlon and Tess and PJ Carney. So this week's lotto will be €5,400. So lots of jackpots. Sticking with the clubs this week, nobody winning them. But then they're like buses when they come along. You can win a whole heap of them in one go. Davey, time to move on to our Instagram talking points. Have the listeners been in contact with you?
Yeah, they have. We'll start with Lucky to be Working, who said, too much respect for Dublin. Seriously, everything gone PG.
I don't know. I don't know if they did have too much respect for Dublin. Look, they're a young team. Look, I'm not gonna judge them on that result. I'm really not. You look at what Dublin have done to Division One teams, and we're not even. So I thought the lads give it a good crack and just probably will learn a lot from that game.
Yeah, Brian Flynn said, it's the hope that kills you. Unfortunately, we are so far away from the top teams.
We are. But we tried to explain to you last week not to be going up there with hope. Because
kind of gets stronger as the week goes on. I was even a little bit hopeful. And then the start we made as well, Mickey, it's easy to get caught, you know.
Look, that goal doesn't go in for Dublin. They get a free instead. It's only 4 points to three at that stage. Instead, it turns out to be 1-3 to three. And then they kick 2 points after that. The one thing about Dublin is when they get a goal, they always follow it up with another couple of scores. And it becomes, you know, like a goal to them is worth 4 or 5 points, not 3 points.
Dara Tui said, Bugler, 12 steps for the first goal. No, it didn't matter, but it was a turning point.
I really do think it was a turning point. You know, they get the free, stick it over the bar. It's still a manageable game. But now they've pushed out and they use, Dublin are very good at using big scores for pushing on and getting a few more behind it. In fact, I tell you what, like, that's what the big teams do. Like in 2016 with Simonsen, right, we had a tactic that if we scored a goal, our next score, we would try to get a goal as well, because that would finish a game. And when we got a goal, we used to...
Did you ever get another one?
Numerous times. You look back at 2016 and 17, what we used to do, if we got a goal, we would push up three banks of four, full forward line, half forward line, midfield. We'd overload, and then we'd win the ball, and we'd drive forward. And more often than not, well, numerous times, in big games, we got a second goal, and that was the finishing of a game. That was a game over. Once you got two majors within the space of 2 or 3 minutes, the game was over then. So, like, this is a Dublin team who are professional. They have ways and means of doing worse to you.
Catherine Cook said, score not reflective of the game. Some great defence and attacks and battle well for possession. Lots to build up.
Yeah, absolutely. And even there towards the end, we had 3 or 4 really good chances of scores. There was a goal chance and there was maybe 3 point scoring chances that because we were so far behind, the lads didn't want to miss. Even Kyogi pulled one to the left, left-hand side of their left-hand upright. You know, these things happen when you're losing by big margins. Everything goes against you.
Yeah, Insta Aoife said, classy Caulfield.
Yeah. Thought Caulfield was class, and I thought his point was absolutely brilliant as well on the left foot, Davey. Did you see that one? Well, obviously you did see it. in a very, very, very tight area. It was one of the scores of the matches, actually. And even they referenced it on RTE. That says, you know, that was a brilliant move by me.
Yeah, he was our best player, I felt, on the day, Kieran Caulfield. I thought he was excellent. Sandra Crosby Moore said Cluxton not great. Didn't have much to do in truth, did he? His kickouts weren't great. I thought we did really well on our kickouts. We were terrible on our own kickouts, but we did really, really well off the Dublin kickouts. So
it's funny, the both teams did better on the opposing kickouts.
Next one up comes in from Leo Weldon. He said positives to take from it. After the second goal, we just wanted the game to end, which is fair enough.
Yeah, but they still worked really hard. They made a couple of crucial turnovers. Costello made a brilliant dispossession on his own 14-yard line and won a free. Like, there was still loads of positives to take from it. Like, in years gone by, full forward line wouldn't have, when they got the second goal and Dublin were so far ahead, full forward line weren't going to track men back to the full back line. I thought Costello did really well on that end of his game. I thought he was brilliant getting back and helping out defensively.
Yeah, Caulfield had another terrific interception towards the end as well. Brilliant, yeah. Rob. Two more on Bugler, and that's really it. Hyan Rush says, how many steps does Bugler need? And Joey Mooney said, how many steps for the Dublin goal? Yeah, watched it back. It was really bad. But I find when there's a foul in the build-up to those sorts of moves, the attacker invariably...
It's the benefit of the doubt, yeah.
Yeah, it's strange.
Two wrongs don't make a right. You know, if he fouls the ball, the referee has to say, right, well, the advantage was being played. We bring it back for the free. You know, but...
Yeah.
To let him take 12 steps and then score the goal, that's criminal.
Couple on the venue. First from Kenneth Darby, he said, why did the county board agree to playing Croke Park, not Navan? And Shane Mangan said, a disgrace that we gave up home advantage for the game. Just before I get your opinions on that, Mickey, I believe, first of all, it wasn't the county board's call. And I don't think we ever had home advantage in the first place to give up. I believe that the game likely would have been in Portlaoise yesterday had it not been in Croke Park. And the main reason for it being in Croke Park was because of the TV cameras, which were there for obviously the camogie and the fact that it was shown on RT. So I believe they're the few reasons, A, why it wasn't in Portlaoise, and B, why it was in Croke Park on Sunday.
Well, someone want to let RTE know, because RTE said that Colm O'Rourke and his meat team gave up home advantage to play in Croke Park. Like, that's, yeah, absolutely. And that is, like, that's criminal, if you ask me, that your national broadcaster would not have the right information on something like that.
Mm.
You know, like, to turn around and say something like, you know, meat coughed up home advantage, Colm O'Rourke and his meat team gave up home advantage so that they could play in Croke Park. That's absolute.
Rhymes with Rollins.
I know.
Yeah, he said lads in blazers, you know, and I think that's fairly clear that it wasn't him.
But that's
or
what I'm
the players that chose.
How can RTE say something like that?
Yeah.
It's really, really, really disappointing. Yeah.
Just on that before we move on, Mickey, I do think it was a massive balls up by whoever made that call, because there was 21,500 people all told in Croke Park during the day, and there was two or three camogie finals before the Meath game. Okay, they brought minimal amount to it, but what I'm getting at is, if that was in Navan or a Portlaoise, even to a lesser extent, you probably would have had it packed or somewhere close to packed. You would have had a great crowd at them. It just diluted it. And it was the main talking point after the game. You'll hear on the Loyal Royals, Desi Farrell talking about the attendance. The atmosphere at the game was very strange. It wasn't like a Meath and Dublin Leinster Championship game. Now, I know there's different factors because of that, but get it out of Croke Park. Dublin play their home games there. They play their neutral games there. They play their league games there. They play the championship games there. Even the Dublin supporters are absolutely fed up of playing in Croke Park themselves. They want to get on the road and travel.
They play their away games there. You know, even throw that in. But there was 21,000 in Croke Park in total, including the three league camogie finals. So there was. So, like, it's just, I don't know. Anyways, I think it was stupid as well.
Anyway, that's it from Instagram Interactive.
Shitty.
Mm.
Disappointing result. Not disappointed with the performance. Disappointed with the scoreline, yes. Lots to be learned. As I said at the top of this podcast, I don't think we've been to Croke Park in the last 10 years where we could come away from a game against Dublin and say there's lots to be learned. Because I thought that the guys went for it today, Davey. I think they did. They made a lot of mistakes, and that's just it.
Yeah, they gave it a good lash. They never gave up. They battled, which is something to pull from it. They learn a lot from the experience of the day, hopefully, and you know, progress with it. So there's brighter days ahead. There's no doubt about that, Mickey.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, we've got a lot of other podcasts to get recording. So that's it from this episode of your We Are Meat podcast. Remember, We Are Meat. Why matters more.